My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the team, 980 in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, EB, and JP talking about haunted hotels, ghosts.
Because Mookie Betts decided he was not going to stay in the same team hotel as the Dodgers when they're in Milwaukee because the Pfister Hotel apparently is haunted.
You know, I thought of you. I'm going to go to these calls here in a second. I thought of you the other day, and I saw some clip where, you know, I know how, speaking of hotels, you and your wife get kind of anxious and always are finding, like, bed bugs. Like, that's a
thing. My wife is really...
She's, like, super, like, she checks everything for bed bugs when she checks.
Every time.
I know people that do that.
She looks underneath the mattresses.
And... Well, you know what a guy, I saw what he does? He just, when he checks in his hotel, he takes off the whatever you call that, the comforter or whatever, and then he just irons the bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To just
and that'll just kill them all.
I guess in theory. He irons the bed.
But what if the bugs are underneath the mattress?
I think the heat is still so great. You know, if it's under the mattress, I don't know.
Yeah. My daughter dealt with that in the fly-by-night hotel she was staying in down in Pinehurst. And they weren't in her room, but there was a room right next to her that had bed bugs. And one of the kids that stayed in that room was also an intern for the USGA. Mm-hmm. And she was taking him to the course every day. So he was in the car. So she was freaking out. They had to move her out of her room. They cleared a bunch of people out and came in and, you know.
What do they do when they have to fumigate the room?
They got to come in and treat it.
All right.
Bed bugs are a nightmare.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, man, that hotel was built in 1893, so it's definitely haunted in some way, shape, or form.
Why do you believe that?
Have you experienced anything like that?
You know what? This is for you, Bish. Right. You love your dog, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, years ago, I had a pup I got from a shelter, and we were best buddies for 15 years. We never went anywhere not together. Mm-hmm. This is a non-leash dog, always by my side, no matter where we were, beach, mountains, lake, you name it.
Right.
We went to Manassas Battlefield Park just on a stroll, again, off leash, and it was fine. And we were walking the routes and going everywhere else, and she did something she never did. I swear that dog saw a ghost. We were walking to the stone house.
I can't.
And we had
Eric and I are simpatico here.
I just want to hear the story.
trust your dog, and I trust mine. And she would never leave my side, and you know whatever conditions was, and we were going there, and she stopped dead in her tracks ahead of me by 15 feet, went into a low perch, low guttural growl, which she never made before. Every hair on her back went up. She wouldn't move.
Maybe she saw a snake or something.
No. There was nothing in sight. Yeah. We'd already passed her before, and she would not move. And it was the strangest sound she made, and her eyes were straight ahead.
These are the guys you're simpatico with, just so you know.
And I'm sorry. Anyway, so we had to turn back around and go back to the car.
Right.
But she saw something that she never did in 50.
All right, thank you. God bless you, Steve.
Steve believes in ghosts.
That's a point for the ghost people. That 100%, that's...
Again, and he experienced it.
That's some hard evidence, TV.
The hard evidence is the dog acted funny.
You don't think dogs can't sense things?
Sure. I don't think they sense ghosts. They don't have a ghost detector.
If they see it or feel it.
Well, if they see something you can't see.
Yeah, but as EB said, could have been a snake, a mouse, could have been a million things. But you're going to ghost?
One thing I do know is no one's ever actually seen a ghost.
Look, they're just going to make fun of it. It doesn't matter.
No,
I mean,
what does a ghost look like?
Casper.
But people that have seen the ghost, no one's ever seen a ghost. They just see a table move. Or their
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true at all.
All right, what's the ghost look like?
The person that previously was in that body. Your grandma.
It looks like a
hologram.
A hologram?
Maybe not.
Mm. Okay.
Maybe it looks like an actual person standing in your room.
Maybe they're just like orbs that are floating around.
Orbs? What's it? Like, I mean, orb, that means like a circular thing? Like, what's an orb?
Like light flashes.
EP, don't you know that ghosts look like somebody that puts a sheet over their head?
Like Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Let's go.
I just Googled
Larry.
It. Here's what ghosts look like.
Yeah, right. Larry, what's up?
Hey, good morning there, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hey,
what's up, Larry?
All right, thanks for taking my call. I used to work at a place in Georgetown called Dumbarton Oaks. It is a mansion, and the original owners are buried out in the backyard. I used to be security there. So the thing is that I used to work from 12 midnight to 8 in the morning. Now, when I used to do my patrols through the building, I could see what looked like black shadows moving through the building to the point where it would make the hair on the back of my neck stand up definitely. Also, I would hear noises throughout the building, and also they had a chimney stack that did not have any kind of fire or anything in the chimney, but the chimney stack would stay warm for some reason, almost to the point where it felt like a fire was going on inside the flue area of the chimney. So going through those experiences, I definitely think that there's something that's going on with the supernatural. But also people used to go through the gardens of Dumbarton Oaks, and they would say that one of the owners of the original house, they would be out there seeing an outline of her with a parasol sitting on the bench in the garden, listening to the people talk about her formal gardens.
What's a parasol?
An umbrella.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Isn't that what a parasol is?
I don't know. I never.
So does Larry sound crazy?
To me,
he does not sound crazy.
to me, yes.
I would just think, you know, sometimes if you're driving at night, right, when you get like highway hypnosis, you've been driving for a while, you'll start seeing things. It's just because you're either drifting off or whatever. It doesn't mean that it's a ghost.
I just think the night is scary. I don't know. Who knows what you're interpreting?
What do you call those things? Floaters?
Yeah. Maybe he has floaters
in his eyes. Sorry.
He's right, looking outside, thinks he sees dark shadows.
Let's go to D. See, I'm not surprised. D. Woods says he's had a ghost encounter.
Bickle thinks you're crazy, D. Woods.
I never said I had a ghost encounter. I'm still hung up on that guy saying his dog is a Ghostbuster. That kind of tripped me out.
Exactly.
His dog, Rick Moranis, he's stupid. I went up to Newport a couple years ago, Newport, Rhode Island, and I stayed at the Hotel Viking, and it's known to be haunted. So everywhere you go, if you tell people you in Newport, you say you're staying at the Hotel Viking, they go, you know it's haunted. Even when you check in and you go to the hotel bar, everybody says it's haunted. What I was telling Drab was, it plays with your mind, because the first couple of days I couldn't sleep. You know, they would say you will hear somebody. It's somebody that's running through the hall, and then you will hear like
right.
noises, and you go, what the hell was that? But after like day two, I was fine. I was like, this place isn't haunted. But it does play with your mind when you're sitting there up late at night and you hear the creaks of the building, or you hear like your neighbors walking around. That's all it is. It's just other people doing stuff within the hotel that you're just hearing. But once they tell you that, it gets in your brain and it doesn't get out.
So you're debunking the ghost.
Yeah, so myth. He's not a believer.
All right, good. You know what? You got some good sense on you.
You crushed me in the beginning, and now
I hear your rationale. A very, very reasonable human being.
How's Atlanta so far? You've been there for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I've been here for 3 weeks. I will say this, JP. Thank you for asking. I've talked to you. If you had to live here, you'd be late every day. It takes about an hour and a half to go 20 miles every morning. Yeah, I've been in the car since 7 o'clock, and it says I have 22 more minutes, and I was 30 miles away coming from my buddy's house. So it is no joke, and it's like 7 lanes of traffic, and it's always packed. So
brutal.
It's disgusting.
All right.
And it's hot.
Hang in there, man. Hang in there, guys. All right, buddy.
He's staying in like a mansion, though. I saw a picture of him in like a kitchen. I guess it's maybe his cousin's house. Mm. Looks like a baller house.
God, what was I going to say about the ghost? Let's go to Chris in Gaithersburg. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
How's it going?
Hey.
I was talking to Drab. I've had 2 paranormal encounters in my life. I didn't ask for them. One was a visual and one was a physical. And the physical one nearby. So I told Drab I got a challenge for JP.
All right.
I'll pay for the room. He's got to take his wife as the bait. But it's out on Kent Island.
I have to take my wife as bait?
Bait for the ghost.
I'll tell you why. Look it up.
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
So my wife and I went there. It's just a random weeknight. This place is a wedding venue. It's called like the Kent Island Manor Inn or something. It's the first exit when you go over the bridge. It's maybe a mile.
Close to where I got married.
Right.
Yeah. And so we went out there during the week on our anniversary just for the night. And, you know, we hung out, went out, had dinner, whatever. Came back. And the SEB had happened, and then we went to sleep. And
of course.
I'm sleeping, and I feel this rubbing on my forearm. And I woke up straight in bed, and it stopped. And I didn't go back to sleep, but this was the second time I had an encounter.
Well, let me ask you this: what evidence do you have that there was rubbing on your forearm? Did you have marks?
He felt it.
So it could be a dream. You ever heard of those?
No. So it was the same sensation as the first time. It was cold in the room and my hair standing up. I know I physically felt this. So the weird thing was, too, is when we checked in, the concierge lady, the manager, she says, and never had this happen. There was one other couple staying in the hotel that night. And, she goes, well, here's my card. Here's my cell phone number. Call me if you need anything. And she said, well, just don't go up on the third floor. And I said, why? Are there ghosts up there? And she goes, well, there's a young spirit up there. She's a little girl. She won't bother you. She didn't tell us there's another spirit in the hotel. But I never had a concierge go, here's my cell phone number. Call me if you need something. It was like, I was thinking about that movie, The Shining, where, the caretaker guy's up there and he gets his buddy coming up to save him or whatever, But anyway, so the next morning, the sun's coming up. My wife's still sleeping. I grab my laptop. I'm down in the lobby. I was going to walk around that hotel in the dark. And I came downstairs just banging some stuff out. She woke up early. We get going. And I said, well, I woke her up. And I said, this is why I woke up. And so she gets on her phone. And I hadn't checked out the building. And she goes, did you read this article about this place? And I said, no. She goes, well, besides this little girl up on the third floor, she goes, there's a guy that hung himself in the room next to us in like the mid 1800s.
Hanged himself.
Hanged himself. And he goes around the hotel at night, rubbing the arms of female guests specifically. So, and my wife was like, why didn't he rub my arm? And I go, I don't know, maybe he'd switch it or something, but.
All right. I got it.
EB, I have found scientific evidence of ghosts. Sam Darnold against the Patriots saw ghosts in the secondary.
Right. Here's what I will say. I don't believe in it, But I'm not going to sign up to go stay in some haunted house.
Why?
Why is that? I'm not going to mess with it. But I don't believe
it. Well, look, the guy offered to pay for the room. Why don't
give me a free trip out there? I'll go. Why not?
Yeah, go stay in there. See
if I can find a weekend away.
Take your wife and stay the night.
Sure. I might be wrong, but I don't believe in it. But I mean, I'm not saying I'm always right.
Ghost would rip JP's face off and say, oh, it's just bed bugs.
will you do it? He's going to pay for it. Steve, call back. Pay for JP. You and your wife go over there.
If I can find a weekend, I can get away.
Yeah, you get hotel buns.
Sure.
And then you see if somebody rubs your arm.
That's funny.
Right? That's what you're looking
for.
He feels like somebody rubbed his arm, and yet, when he looked at his arm, nothing.
Would I go where? To a haunted
like
house?
Me, you, Valdez, whoever, the whole show.
Right.
On a Friday night, we go up to Pennsylvania somewhere. Some haunted old hospital or something. Or Gettysburg.
I mean, I'd be happy to have dinner at a haunted restaurant.
I want to see you scared.
I don't like being scared.
Just take him up to a balcony. Yeah, take him up to the rooftop here. He'll be scared.
Be scared. Yeah, exactly.
Has the guy ever heard of a dream where things feel real? We've all had those dreams where it feels real.
I know.
And you think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. You wake up and it's reality.
Well, I guess, where I did something real.
Right.
I mean, I guess it could have been his wife
we've all had that.
Rubbing his arm in the middle of the night just because she was dreaming. But then he talks to the employee and the employee says, yeah, this guy comes in and he rubs the forearms of these people. So he believes it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's hard for me to imagine, so I just don't. I can't believe it.
His evidence was
I kind of believe
it was
that too,
chilly but in the room.
Yeah, it's just hard for me to believe. I'm sorry.
All right, Michael Phillips is going to join us next. We'll get back, talk a little Commanders with MP on the mic. Michael Phillips next here on the Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're going to move off the ghost topic and get back into the Washington Commanders. We're joined now on the BetQL Guest Hotline by Michael Phillips, host of the MP on the Mic show on 910 The Fan in Richmond, which you can listen to after us. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I can't get rid of you, huh? The radio bug has got you.
It's exactly. We're ready for another season of Commanders. We spent a lot of yesterday's show trying to figure out what happened with the George Mason men's basketball team. We got topics.
Yeah, for sure. We tried to touch on that a little bit, too.
Right?
That was a little weird. All right, so what were your first impression? I mean, everybody obviously was impressed with the Jaden Daniels drive, but, you know, he only completed two passes. You don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but so far so good, I say.
Yeah, I think it maybe had less juice than any preseason game I can remember in recent memory, and not just on the Commander side. The Jets didn't play anybody either, so, you know, and anything that happened, you say, well, the Jets had their threes in, and it was played at noon, and it came after a joint practice day that was so built up, and it's going to be the same this week in Miami, right? Those joint practices, that's what the coaches put their energy into. That's what they put their planning time into, and then they play a preseason game after it, so it kind of takes a little of the juice out of the game. But man, that Jaden Daniels throw, and I'll throw in the Tressway tackle as well. Two nice moments to remember. Probably about all you could hope for out of something like that.
Yeah, I'd say so. I was talking to CJ, you know, who produces some of the radio.
Chris Johnson, on, yeah.
Yeah, there. And he was just struck by it. I could sense it through the television. Just the energy on the sidelines, right? The team had taken on Ron's persona, which was arms folded, disinterested, lifeless, oftentimes. This team is taking on the persona of Quinn and Witt and everybody else. What is your take?
Yeah, and you got to throw Kingsbury into that mix, too. He's young. He's energetic. He talks smack with the players at practice. You know, it's a crew that brings high energy, high intensity every day. And it makes me lament what last year was and what a waste it was, because I think we all thought that's what we were getting in Eric Bieniemy, right? I think we all thought EB was going to be that kind of, you know, excited big presence on the sideline, and it just never really happened that way. And, you know, to have a year that's a waste in the NFL is such a slog. So it's good to have the energy back. And I mean, so many question marks we can get into them, even at wide receiver, where, do you have a number two wide receiver right now? I don't know if they do. On the offensive line, big question marks, obviously. But I think the joy and the energy is going to carry us a long way this year.
You know, we talked about that number two receiver thing earlier in the show. Jahan Dotson got more snaps, which was maybe curious. And Dan Quinn said it's competition. Do you think they need to upgrade at wide receiver?
Well, I think they're playing a long game, and I just... You know, I hate to throw cold water on this before it starts, but everybody's, oh, Jaden Daniels, he's the man. And there's so much national buzz around him, right? There is right now. You talk to national people, they love Jaden Daniels. This isn't Houston, though. This isn't what the Texans did last year. The Texans last year had a roster that was solid, put a good quarterback on top, put a good defense on top, took it off to the moon. This is a longer, slower build, and you look at the decisions Adam Peters didn't make this offseason. I would throw getting a receiver in there, not getting a left tackle in the draft, you know, not mortgaging the draft capital to trade up. He's playing a long game, and I think what he wants, you know, his reputation's so good. People want to play for him. People want to come be where he is. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the same by the end of the year. I think he understands he could have overpaid and overtraded for guys this year. But if he waits a year, these guys may be the darlings of free agency next year. If things work right, if Cliff's a fun guy to play for and DQ's a fun coach and people love watching Jaden, they could have an advantage in free agency. And I think they're really eyeing next year is the time to start making those big moves.
Were you impressed at all by Jamin Davis? He seems to be their pet project. And I'm actually kind of excited to see if they can get something extra out of him. With so much athleticism, he's just been a dud so far, but maybe they can find some usage with him.
It's been fun to watch because I think the coaches genuinely don't know where they want him. They just know that they like him. I do think they like him, too. Mm-hmm. They like his work ethic. They like the athleticism. They like the hustle. They just don't know what to do with them. They don't know where to put them. They don't know where to use them. That's what they're trying to figure out, and you're watching it in real time. And I think for Joe Witt, that's the challenge. Is he a defensive end? Is he a stand-up linebacker? Is he a guy who comes in on third downs? You know, what exactly is that role? And I think you're going to see him play a lot of preseason snaps for that reason. They're going to try him in a lot of places. He's been working with Daryl Tapp on the defensive line. He's been working with the linebackers. He's in different position groups, you know, different meetings. I don't think the issue is, I know the issue is not, oh, this guy's a bum, we got to run him out of town. They really like Jamin Davis, and they like his hustle, and they like his dedication. They don't know what to do with him.
Do they think they have enough pass rush? You know, they brought in three guys during the offseason. They don't have the big names. No more Montez Sweat, no Chase Young. Do they think they'll get the type of production they need this season from the guys they brought in?
Yeah, you're really looking for one of these guys to pop. It's a fresh start for Cleveland Farrell. He was a top 10 pick with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Obviously got the bust label there, a chance for him to kind of revive his career a bit with lower expectations and, you know, not that top 10 label anymore. Dorrance Armstrong comes from Dallas. I'm excited about K.J. Henry. I really liked watching him late last year with these guys. I thought there was something there. At the end of the day, though, you know, there are no proven guys here on this defensive line, no proven mm-hmm. options on this pass rush. You're going to need somebody to step up, and I think it's kind of open audition season now. We didn't get to see that at all against the Jets. I don't know if we'll get to see it against the Dolphins at all. I'm equally intrigued in the middle. You saw Fedarian Mathis playing a lot of snaps late. That's a second-round draft pick from a couple years ago. And the message there was very clearly, you know, we're not sure what to do with him. And we love Johnny Newton. And John Ridgeway's certainly been a contributor recently. So I think in the middle there's some exciting roster battles to play out as well here.
So getting back to the offense, specifically the offensive line, you possibly could have a rookie left tackle. With Brandon Coleman. I know he's banged up now, but he could possibly be your starter. You got a rookie quarterback, obviously. You got a new coordinator. And then you brought in some new offensive linemen, Al Grady and the guy from Dallas. So you've got possibly three new linemen, a rookie quarterback. Rookie left tackle, rookie quarterback. Does that concern you at all?
Yes. It concerns me enormously. Right. Thank you for asking. It's absolutely, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback, you want to do everything in your power to make life easy for him, right? Get him good skill players, get him a good running game, get him veteran offensive linemen. And you know, at center, they did bring Biadasz in from Dallas. That allows them to have a veteran presence there. But this is nobody's idea of a dream scenario, a rookie left tackle and a rookie quarterback. I do think, though, on the touchdown run that Jaden had the other day, you saw John Bates out there throwing a big block, the tight end. I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end early this season, right? So Zach Ertz is clearly Kingsbury's guy. I think he's going to get a lot of run. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be out there a lot. But I think you're going to see a lot of John Bates, too, and a lot of, you know, let's throw a second body in there. How can we make life a little bit easier for Jaden Daniels? Because you don't want to ruin the kid the first year, and you don't want to ruin Brandon Coleman either, his first year, and especially if he's going to be fighting through injuries here early in the year. It's a tenuous formula, right? Too many young people. I think we'll see a lot of two tight end. I think we'll see a lot of big bodies in there, kind of maybe trying to make up for that a little bit.
What about Sinnott? I mean, you don't mention him. He looks like a potential star. I mean, what can he not do?
Man, I was waiting for Luke McCaffrey to flash. Sinnott's the guy who flashed. You nailed it. Yeah, some very nice catches over the middle. And you know, my concern with Zach Ertz is not can he do the things. Obviously, he can do the things. He's been in the NFL forever. But how much gas is left in that tank? Can he go 17 games? And to have somebody like Sinnott waiting behind him, I think is going to be a nice luxury for these guys.
What are you hearing on some of the guys who didn't play last week against Miami? specifically, and, you know, Brandon Coleman and is Wagner going to play? How do we know that some of these veterans? We want to see some of the veterans, certainly, even though we don't really need to, but I'd like to see them in this new defense.
Yeah, I think you're going to be waiting another week. I think caution is going to rule the day here, especially with the trip to Miami.
Right.
Going to be a hot practice down there in Miami, the joint practices. Dan Quinn said they're going to work out today with pads in Ashburn here in about half an hour. Anybody who doesn't practice today, you know, probably isn't going to play for the rest of the week. I get the sense caution is going to rule the day here. Now, that said, we've only got the three preseason games. One of the things that always confused me about Ron was after that third preseason game, he just kind of shut it down for like 3 weeks until the season started. That's good practice time, and that's going to be valuable time for them. So I think there's going to be time for them to get together and to gel. I think it's going to be behind closed doors.
You know, you mentioned the national media drooling over Jaden Daniels. Some of the national media members are predicting them to be the Houston Texans of this season, right? Predicting a playoff run. We had Matt Verderam on the show from Sports Illustrated, and he said that, are they all getting ahead of their skis, or do you think it is possible that this 4-win team from a year ago could make that big of a jump?
Statistically speaking, somebody does it every year. I'm not going to be the one to predict these guys to do it. I can't go that far. I just see too many holes here. I see too many young guys. I see too many question marks. I mean, Emmanuel Forbes is probably going to have to be out on the field pretty regularly, and he didn't look great there in that preseason game, right? I just got too many big question marks to say this team could make that kind of leap. I mean, heck, the kicker, they keep missing kicks every time you look. Those are the little things that make the difference, right, between a 7-win team and a 9-win team. I don't think they're there. I don't think they have the details right. I do think, though, depending on how Chicago goes, because I think Chicago's ready to go and Caleb Williams could jump in and have a great season there. If somehow things don't work out there, I think Jaden Daniels as rookie of the year is very much in play and could happen. The more you see of this kid, the more you like him. I just don't know if those results are going to translate to a playoff season, a winning season. I think 7-10, good progress for Jaden Daniels. I'll sign on that dotted line right now. Leave happy.
Yeah, I think we all would.
Yeah,
we all would.
I just think, you know, kind of jumping forward, the first 6 weeks are going to be difficult. Bickle feels differently. He thinks they can win every game.
Is that true?
But when you send a rookie out on the road in week one against Tampa, all right.
About Tampa?
It's not that they're daunting. It's just it's a road atmosphere, right, against a pretty good defense. And then Giants come back here. Giants are terrible. They should win that game. But then you got to go on the road again, even though they're not world beaters again. But
who are they playing after that?
I think they're playing the Cardinals. Cincinnati.
The one I hate there, it's Cincy on Monday night, which they'll lose, obviously.
Yeah, so we'll lose that one. That's fine.
But then it's the short week where you got to come back from Cincy Monday night, go to Arizona. Because I think we all agree Arizona is a game they could win and maybe even should win, depending on how it looks. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a tough week, though, with the short turnaround.
Short turnaround. And then you come back home and you got to play two of the best teams in the league, certainly best defenses, Cleveland and Baltimore. First six weeks are difficult.
Baltimore, I'm not assuming anything against Cleveland.
First 6 weeks, I think, are just very, very tough. They get through the first 6 weeks. Let's just say they're 3-3, then it could be a really nice year.
I think 3-3 is very doable. In fact, I got them at 4-2.
I know. See, you got him at 4-2.
What are you
Michael?
Give a win total? Or you're just not even willing to do that.
I'll give you. I honestly think 2-4 out of that first stretch. I don't like drawing Tampa in the opener on the road. That's a team with cohesion that's going to be ready to go week one. I do think that we'll be favored against the Giants. I'd love to pick it up in Arizona. I'm scared of that game. I think you get one of the others. I think you're 2-4. Hoping you're showing signs of improvement, and then you start making your hay in the middle portion of the schedule. If you could somehow get to 3-3, I think we're all going to feel really good and be drinking some Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right. I agree. All right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Michael. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right.
I'd take 3-3.
I'll take it. I think we're capable of more. There's never a scenario where I'm scared of an Arizona Cardinals team.
I think they're definitely
capable. I'm not saying you should be scared of anybody.
And I've said all along, starting even before the draft, that they could be a team that sneaks up on people because teams do it every year. And I like what they've done. That said, I'm also open to the possibility that they can start off 1-5. happens. We've seen it a million times.
Well, it always happens here.
And there are a ton of questions. We went through some of them with Michael during this interview. We don't know if they're going to be able to rush the passer.
We don't know.
They had the worst defense in the league last year. The assumption is Dan Quinn, defensive guy, a lot of hype on Joe Witt. They're going to turn this defense around. They were dead last. And it's not like they brought in some stud pass rushers. They brought in guys, okay, he's familiar with Armstrong and Fowler, and maybe they hope Farrell will have a turnaround. But I think there's a good possibility that they struggle to get to the passer. Now, I do think the linebackers, huge upgrade.
Huge upgrade.
Huge upgrade there. And then the secondary, question mark. So I don't believe the defense is going to be all of a sudden really good. And then
they're going to be better,
though. The secondary is a question mark. We haven't really talked about that. But, you know, you're adding some young guys. And in week one against Tampa, you're going against Mike Evans.
Also going against Baker Mayfield.
And Godwin.
Baker had a good year last year.
I know. Yeah. He's fine.
I'm just saying it's not an easy out. You look at you. Oh, it's Tampa.
I don't
but
think it's
on the
an
road
easy
with,
out.
With a rookie quarterback,
it's not a daunting out to me. It's not daunting.
It's not like you're playing Kansas City on the road
right.
a week one.
Exactly.
But there's only so many Kansas Cities.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Keep it here. You're on the mic now, so you can say it.
Hey, they signed Bryant. I mean, I'm stunned by it.
Martavius Bryant.
Now, he was on the Cowboys practice squad last year, so it's not like he's been out of the league. Completely.
And he was in the CFL. He played with a bunch of different teams before that.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued.
So not
by
Brandon
that.
Ayuk, Martavis Bryant.
Right. I don't know what to make of that, other than it does lend credence to the idea that they don't love their wide receiver room.
Or just another camp body that's going to be there in training camp.
But dude, and they then got by a lot the... about camp receivers.
Yeah.
If you look at their depth. They got like 10, 11, 12, 13. They got a bunch of guys.
Well, I know De'Ami Brown made a big catch on a go route, mm-hmm. and that's great. And maybe they like him.
My understanding
but we've
is
said
they like him.
Over and over that this regime has no loyalty to the old regime's draft choices.
It's true.
So we talked about that with Jahan Dotson, and now they're not going to cut Jahan Dotson. Mm-mm. And I don't think they're going to cut De'Ami Brown. But they may not like what they see. And they want to dabble. Now, here's the deal with Martavis Bryant.
He's a tall
He hasn't
guy.
Caught a ball in the NFL since 2018.
Correct.
Understood. But he was with the practice squad, so he was working out with Dan Quinn's team
daily.
He knows last
him.
Year. He knows him.
And he showed potential. Look, if you go back to when he was with the Steelers, which is 2014 through 2017.
Although he was...
He had a couple of 50-catch seasons, and he showed potential.
All right, that was years ago.
I know. I said that.
I mean, your daughter wasn't even born. Hold on real quick.
Go ahead.
So Bryant was signed to the practice squad with Dallas on November 6th of last year.
All right. Towards the end of the year.
And they cut him in January. So he was only there for a day. I mean, come on.
Well, no. I thought you said November 6th.
Yeah, of last year.
And he was there until January?
They cut him early part of the year. So they cut him before the season ended.
Okay, but he was there for 6 or 8 weeks, so he saw him in practice every day.
All right.
But it's not like
he was there the entire season, is my point.
And they saw that he could maybe help somebody.
Well, obviously. They obviously like him.
They obviously think he might be able to help somebody. I don't think it's we need to camp bodies. They've got Dotson, McCaffrey, Brown, Zacchaeus, Crowder, Pringle, Tinsley, Tremaine, Kaz Allen.
They're cutting most of those guys. They may already know that they don't want any of those guys.
Most of those guys are going to be here. Most of those guys that I just mentioned are going to be here.
They're probably going to keep
half.
Six. They're going to keep six receivers.
Half
probably.
Those guys.
I usually keep seven.
Maybe seven if one of them is like a punt returner.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to cut Crowder. Maybe they will.
I think there's a possibility
because they cut Crowder and keep Zacchaeus.
If Zacchaeus is ahead of him and Luke McCaffrey is a slot guy and you're trying Jahan Dotson as a slot guy, how many do you need?
Let me see if they've got him on the depth already.
Maybe they'll cut Crowder for Zacchaeus.
I think
I'll take that back.
I think half the guys you named will be cut.
Yeah. They're not going to keep nine or ten receivers.
I think Tremaine at least will be on the practice squad. I mean, I know you don't care about that, but I think he will.
Maybe Kaz Allen.
Kaz Allen was, a practice squad guy last year, wasn't he?
Let's just assume.
Tinsley's going to be in trouble. He was the guy that was on the back end of it last year.
It is interesting because he is a name. And hasn't been in the league forever. He's got ties, though. This is what guys do.
Tell you what.
They bring in people they know.
He must have looked good in that workout.
He must still be money.
I mean, he's 32 years old, but he's 6'4". Probably got good hands.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's 6'4".
I think he's 6'4".
If he's 6'4", he's got size that they don't have. The only guy that has size is Bryson Tremaine.
How tall is Diami?
6'1", maybe?
Yeah.
That's tall compared to Jahan and Terry.
But that's not like a big receiver.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So they're looking at him as maybe he could be like a red zone threat kind of guy. I don't know.
End zone fade guy?
I hate that play.
I mean, that's if they use him. I mean, just because they signed him doesn't mean he's going to get tons
him,
of reps.
They could cut him next week. Yeah. They cut him tomorrow.
But it's interesting that they actually
did it a day after
they worked them out.
And I think it's not a coincidence that it was, you know, Joe Witt and Dan Quinn both saw him last year.
Yeah.
On a daily basis for probably 2 months.
I wonder if he had any other tryouts.
I'm actually shocked that they signed him, to be honest with you. I'm actually shocked.
Our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. It'd be interesting to see if he plays on Saturday. Like, he's just joining the team today. Will he practice today?
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I would figure throw him out there.
If he practices today, they may give him some reps. Quinn made a point of saying, if you don't practice, you're not going to play. Right? So you got
to be able to practice tomorrow, I would guess. And maybe practice today if he's here.
When is the joint practice? When is the joint practice?
Last week it was a Thursday schedule, right?
Thursday maybe.
So they maybe travel tomorrow and then they have a joint practice on Thursday?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. They don't have much time if you want to see if he can actually make some plays.
They're going to bring in Dez Bryant next?
Dez is too busy with crypto and everything else, social media.
So Martavis Bryant, who's 32 years old, he was drafted out of Clemson in, I think, 2014 by Pittsburgh. He was only with Pittsburgh for, what did you say, 3 years?
I think it was 2014 or 2017.
What did he have? He had some issue. What was the issue? He was just bitching about not getting the ball enough. Is that what it was? Do you remember? I vaguely remember.
You mean in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yeah. Wasn't he just like complaining or something? There was some issue in Pittsburgh. Maybe Steelers fans.
I'd have to go back and
remind us of what the issue was.
I'd have to go back and look.
But I, for one, will say I'm shocked that they signed him. Not that I think our wide receiver room is incredible, but I certainly think it's
here. It is 2017 after a week 7 game against the Vikings, they got pummeled 26-9. Following that week, he vented frustration about his lack of a role
there
in the offense.
Exactly
on social media.
Yeah,
you probably remember that. Yeah,
yeah.
He skipped mandatory team meetings the following Monday. He said, "I'm out." And then he said he wanted to be traded.
All right, let's just go through this quickly. McLaurin's a lock. I think Dotson's a lock. They're not going to cut him. He's a lock. Yeah. I think Deami Brown at this point is a lock.
Deami's a lock.
Okay.
But
I think Zaccheaus is a lock. That's 4. I think Luke McCaffrey, based on draft status, is a lock.
Yes. I think
that's
Luke
5.
Is a lock.
All right. Did you say Deami?
Yes. I think Deami's a lock. I actually think they're going to keep Pringle. They wouldn't have brought him back if they weren't. I mean, they brought him back just like a week. I don't think they would have brought him back if they weren't going to keep him.
You're already at 6. I can't keep all those guys.
Who are you going to give?
You can keep 6 receivers.
They're going to keep 7 receivers.
I don't know that Zaccheaus is definitely going to be on the team. Or Deami Brown is definitely going to be on the team.
Zaccheaus is versatile. And you can see he's got a lot of life in his legs. I guess the 7th guy, maybe Crowder. If they keep Zaccheaus, they probably don't need Crowder.
Last year, they kept 7. So there were 7 actives. But one of those was Crowder, who was returning punts.
Right.
So maybe they keep 7, but one of those is
I believe Zaccheaus is first on their depth chart.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's right now currently. Yeah, he's not
they're not cutting him. I know. They're keeping Zaccheaus. I don't care what JP says. They're keeping him.
I didn't say they're going to cut him. I'm not saying it's a lock.
I think he's a lock. Brown's a lock. McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey's a lock. That's 5 locks. So Crowder might be in trouble. I actually think they're going to keep Pringle like it's 6, and then they're going to probably try to find a way to sneak Bryson Tremaine on the practice squad if they can, because they like him.
And then where's Bryant in the picture?
Don't know.
Outside? So you just sign him for 2 weeks?
No, he might be the seventh guy.
Your boy Kaz Allen, where's he?
I think he's on the outside looking in.
He might get dropped.
He's on the outside looking in. Look, they'll have to cut Tremaine to put him on the practice squad.
Right.
So Bryant will be their seventh.
Hey, it's curious. Hopefully he'll get
a big receiver.
Hopefully he'll get some run on Saturday. And then we'll see.
Well,
it is a little bit of confirmation to what we were talking about earlier, that they're definitely wanting to upgrade at wide receiver. They're looking for something else.
But again, like you say, we always talk about the sixth and seventh receivers, and rarely do they have an impact. I thought Steve Sims had an impact. That was my guy a couple years
ago.
And also,
like, you said, they don't have that 6'3", 6'4", bigger guy.
So maybe they think, you know what,
McCaffrey's taller, but he's not 6'4".
And he hasn't shown much yet.
Right.
And they like Tremaine, supposedly, by what he's been doing in practice. But he's a rookie, and he's unproven. And, you know, so stash him. We need a little more of a proven guy. Bryant will be their big receiver, maybe.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on the Junkies. On the mic now, so you can say it.
Hey, they signed Bryant. I mean, I'm stunned by it.
Martavius Bryant.
Now, he was on the Cowboys practice squad last year, so it's not like he's been out of the league completely.
And he was in the CFL. He played with a bunch of different teams before that.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued.
So not
by
Brandon Ayuk, Martavius Bryant.
Right. I don't know what to make of that, other than it does lend credence to the idea that they don't love their wide receiver room.
Or just another camp body that's going to be there in training camp.
Dude, they got a lot of camp receivers.
Yeah.
If you look at their depth chart, they got like 10, 11, 12, 13. They got a bunch of guys.
Well, I know De'Ami Brown made a big catch on a go route, and that's great. And maybe they like him.
My understanding is they like him.
Over and over that this regime has no loyalty to the old regime's draft choices.
It's true.
So we talked about that with Jahan Dotson, and now they're not going to cut Jahan Dotson. Mm-mm. And I don't think they're going to cut De'Ami Brown. But they may not like what they see, and they want to dabble. Now, here's the deal with Martavis Bryant.
He's a tall
He hasn't
guy.
Caught a ball in the NFL since 2018.
Correct.
Understood. But he was with the practice squad, so he was working out with Dan Quinn's team
last year.
He knows them.
And he showed potential. Look, if you go back to when he was with the Steelers, which is 2014 through 2017.
Although
he had a couple of 50 catch seasons, and he showed potential.
All right, that was years ago.
I know. I said that.
I mean, your daughter wasn't even born. Hold on, real quick.
Go ahead.
So Bryant was signed to the practice squad with Dallas on November 6th of last year.
All right, towards the end of the year,
and they cut him in January. So he was only there for a day. I mean,
No, I thought you said November 6th.
Yeah, of last year.
And he was there until January?
They cut him early part of the year. So they cut him before the season ended.
Okay, but he was there for 6 or 8 weeks, so he saw him in practice every day.
All right.
But it's not like he was there
the entire season, is my point.
And they saw that he could maybe help somebody.
Well, they obviously like him.
They obviously think he might be able to help somebody. I don't think it's we need to camp bodies. They've got Dotson, McCaffrey, Brown, Zacchaeus, Crowder, Pringle, Tinsley, Tremaine, Kaz Allen.
Most of those guys. They may already know that they don't want any of those guys.
Most of those guys are going to be here. Most of those guys that I just mentioned are going to be here.
They're probably going to
keep half.
They're going to keep six receivers.
Half
probably.
Those guys.
They usually keep seven.
Seven if one of them's like a punt returner.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to cut Crowder. Maybe they will.
I think there's a possibility
because they cut Crowder and keep Zacchaeus.
If Zacchaeus is ahead of him and Luke McCaffrey is a slot guy and you're trying Jahan Dotson as a slot guy, how many do you need?
Let me see if they've got him on the depth already.
Maybe they'll cut Crowder for Zacchaeus.
I think half the guys you named will be cut.
Yeah. They're not going to keep nine or ten receivers.
I think Tremaine at least will be on the practice squad. I mean, I know you don't care about that, but I think he will.
Maybe Kaz Allen.
Kaz Allen was, a practice squad guy last year, wasn't he?
Let's just assume.
Tinsley is going to be in trouble. He was the guy that was on the back end of it last year.
It is interesting because he is a name and hasn't been in the league forever. He's got ties, though. This is what guys do.
Tell you what.
They bring in people they know.
He must have looked good in that workout.
He must still be money.
I mean, he's 32 years old, but he's 6'4".
Yeah.
Probably got good hands.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's 6'4".
I think he's 6'4".
If he's 6'4", he's got size that they don't have. The only guy that has size is Bryson Tremaine.
How tall is Diami?
6'1", maybe?
Yeah.
That's tall compared to Jahan and Terry.
But that's not like a big receiver.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So maybe they're looking at him as maybe he could be like a red zone threat kind of guy. I don't know.
End zone fade guy?
I hate that play.
I mean, that's if they use him. I mean, just because they signed him doesn't mean he's going to get tons of reps.
They could cut him next week. Yeah. They cut him tomorrow.
But it's interesting that they actually
did it a day after
they worked them out.
And I think it's not a coincidence that it was, you know, Joe Witt and Dan Quinn both saw him last year on a daily basis for probably 2 months.
I wonder if he had any other tryouts.
I'm actually shocked that they signed him, to be honest with you. I'm actually shocked.
Our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. It'd be interesting to see if he plays on Saturday. Like, he's just joining the team today. Will they practice today?
Why not?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I would figure throw him out there.
If he practices today, they may give him some reps. Quinn made a point of saying, if you don't practice, you're not going to play. Right? So you got
to be able to practice tomorrow, I would guess. And maybe practice today if he's here.
When is the joint practice? When is the joint
practice? Last week it was a Thursday schedule,
right? Thursday, maybe.
So they maybe travel tomorrow, and then they have the joint practice on Thursday?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. They don't have much time if you want to see if he can actually make some plays.
They're going to bring in Dez Bryant next.
Dez is too busy with crypto and everything else, social media.
So Martavis Bryant, who's 32 years old, he was drafted out of Clemson in, I think, 2014 by Pittsburgh. He was only with Pittsburgh for, what did you say, 3 years?
I think it was 2014 or 2017.
What did he have? He had some issue. What was the issue? He was just bitching about not getting the ball enough. Is that what it was? Do you remember? I vaguely remember.
You mean in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Wasn't he just like complaining or something? There was some issue in Pittsburgh. Maybe Steelers fans
can remind
us of what the issue was.
I'd have to go back and look.
But I, for one, will say I'm shocked that they signed him. Not that I think our wide receiver room is incredible, but I certainly think it's
here it is. 2017, after a week 7 game against the Vikings, they got pummeled 26-9. Following that week, he vented frustration about his lack of a role
there
in
you
offense.
Go. Exactly.
On social media.
Yeah.
You probably remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
He skipped mandatory team meetings the following Monday. He said, I'm out. And then he said he wanted to be traded.
All right, let's just go through this quickly. McLaurin's a lock. I think Dotson's a lock.
He's
a lock. Yeah. I think Diami Brown at this point is a lock.
I don't know Diami's a lock.
Okay. But I think Zacchaeus is a lock. That's 4. I think Luke McCaffrey, based on draft status, is a lock.
Yes. I think
that's
Luke
5.
Is a lock.
All right. Did you say Diami?
Yes. I think Diami's a lock. I actually think they're going to keep Pringle. They wouldn't have brought him back if they weren't. I mean, they brought him back just like a week. I don't think they would have brought him back if they weren't going to keep him.
You're already that's at 6. I can't keep all those guys.
Who are you going to give?
You can keep
they're
some
gonna
receivers.
They're going to keep 7 receivers.
I don't know that Zacchaeus is definitely going to be on the team. Or Diami Brown is definitely going to be on the team.
Zacchaeus is versatile. And you can see he's got a lot of life in his legs. I guess the 7th guy, maybe Crowder. If they keep Zacchaeus, they probably don't need Crowder.
Last year, they kept 7. So there were 7 actives. But one of those was Crowder, who was returning punts.
Right.
So maybe they keep 7, but one of those is
I believe Zacchaeus is first on their depth chart.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's right now currently. Yeah, he's not
they're not cutting him. I know. They're keeping Zacchaeus. I don't care what JP says. They're keeping him.
I didn't say they're going to cut him. I'm not saying it's a lock.
I think he's a lock. Brown's a lock. McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey's a lock. That's 5 locks. So Crowder might be in trouble. I actually think they're going to keep Pringle like it's 6. And then they're going to probably try to find a way to sneak Bryson Tremaine on the practice squad if they can, because they like him.
And then where's Bryant in the picture?
Don't know.
Outside? So you just sign him for 2 weeks?
No, he might be the 7th guy.
Your boy Kaz Allen, where's he?
I think he's on the outside looking in.
He might get dropped.
He's on the outside looking in. Look, they'll have to cut Tremaine to put him on the practice squad.
Right.
So Brian will be their seventh.
Hey, it's curious. Hopefully he'll
get a big receiver.
Hopefully he'll get some run on Saturday, and then we'll see.
Well,
it is a little bit of confirmation to what we were talking about earlier that they're definitely wanting to upgrade at wide receiver. They're looking for something else.
But again, like you say, we always talk about the sixth and seventh receivers, and rarely do they have an impact. I thought Steve Sims had an impact. That was my guy a couple years ago.
And also, you said, they don't have that 6'3", 6'4",
need a big receiver.
Bigger guy.
So maybe they think, you know what, Tremaine
McCaffrey's taller, but he's not 6'4".
And he hasn't shown much yet.
Right.
And they like Tremaine, supposedly, by what he's been doing in practice. But he's a rookie, and he's unproven. And you know, so stash him. We need a little more of a proven guy. Bryant will be their big receiver, maybe.
All right, coming up next, we'll switch gears, open up EB's entertainment page here on The Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.